May the peace of Christ be with you. This is Molly Vetter, Senior Pastor of the Westwood United Methodist Church in Los Angeles. Welcome to our Sanctuary Gathering podcast. Here we share the sermon preached on Sunday as a part of our Sanctuary Gathering. We hope that in these words you will be drawn closer to God and made more ready to love your neighbor. As a congregation, we embrace the words of the Hebrew prophet that are etched into the stairs that lead to our building. The calling to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. We also believe that we're a richer congregation for the diversity of people who participate in our community, and we celebrate the diversity of age, race, gender identity, and sexual orientation that participate in our church. You are welcome in this place, and we hope you will participate. We invite you to do your own theology, to wrestle with questions of faith as we seek out what it means to be faithful Christians today. You're welcome to join us not only by listening in to this podcast, but we also invite you to join in our congregational life. Every Sunday, you're welcome to join us for worship at 9:30 a.m. You can join us in our beautiful sanctuary in Los Angeles at the corner of Warner and Wilshire, or online via our church Facebook page. All are welcome in our midst, and we thank you for being a part of our church. May these moments be a blessing to you today.
It's great to be together on a homecoming weekend, and it's great to be tackling the lessons hard to hear, hard to live up to, but as a guide for our Christian living. So with that in mind, will you join me in prayer? Oh God, come to us in these moments where we desire to be close to you. May our words and our hearts turn toward you as the gift of this day, this holy day. Through Christ we pray. Amen. The passage from James is about as tough as I can imagine a pastor could be in setting the congregation straight. We don't get letters like this from our outstanding pastoral leader. We really don't. The admonishment that comes our way, even in sermons, is gentle. And we live in a culture where the strong are acknowledged as necessary and as a part of the good for all concerned. But here we have in this lesson careful words about the sources of wisdom that might make a difference for us if we want the wisdom of God, if we want to live in a life of faithfulness. First of all, pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, good fruit, impartial and sincere, peacemakers who sow in peace, raise a harvest of righteousness. My goodness. And then we're invited to draw near to God, because when we do, God draws near to us. For many of us, I would even say for most, drawing near to God is a long journey. It's a journey of a lifetime. And sometimes we need the moments to assess what is the gift of our living for today and for tomorrow. A few days ago, Deanna and I went back to Ohio to celebrate the life of one of our family heroes, a brother-in-law, married Dina's oldest sister, and 3 or 4 years ago we lost her and celebrated her good life. But on this occasion, it was for her husband, Jim. They had been married 73 years. And like many in the World War II times, an older brother signed for him to go into the military. He was eager to be in the Army Air Corps. And so he entered World War II, went to flight school, married his high school sweetheart, and served in Special Forces in typically the right seat of the airplane. Survived with stories to tell, but insisted on not telling them because he promised he wouldn't. And when he came home, he followed another big dream to enter Ohio State University and to play football for the Buckeyes. So in 1950, he came out here to the Rose Bowl, first time in a long time that Ohio State had qualified to come out here for the Rose Bowl. And I think he got in a minute and a half of that game, which they won 17-14 against the California Bears. I know you're interested in those kinds of details. Then Jim began to live the rest of his life. And it seemed to me that these moments where we declared him a history in military or in sport really were a small chunk of his life. And he went on to live to 97 years of age and held residence in the veterans' home over in northwestern Ohio. And we visited with him from time to time, and he had a ton of grandkids, and people loved him, and they loved what he did. In his professional life, he was a person who took care of others. That is, he was a fixer of things. You probably have somebody in your family like that, somebody who just takes care of things. You could go to him for advice. He probably had an answer. Right or wrong, he had an answer. Both Jim and Ann decided to give their bodies to science. They had a grandson who was entering and soon to complete medical studies, and it was by his influence that they thought maybe they could give one more time, and they did. Now, this was the life we went back to celebrate, but there were a dozen other lives reflecting on the meaning of this family hero and sharing their insights and their stories. The reason I bring this up is because I have watched in my 57 years of, as a secondary member of that family, having married the youngest of the family, I have watched these young people struggle, fail, get humiliated, and then learn and grow. And over time, across these years, I have watched these wonderful family members do significant things with their lives. That was the other celebration that was going on when they prepared few focused remarks to honor this good man among them. So, I have to tell you, I sort of believe in memorial services for the church and for families because it gives us an opportunity to reflect and to take in what it might be to come to an understanding of life's opportunities and values. Drawing near to God has to do with presence. Now, I've been known to watch a lot of Dodger baseball. And manager Dave Roberts was asked just last week, how are you managing all these talented people who are on your team? His first word was presence. I count on them to be present. We can draw near to God when we find a way to be present, when we find a way to be in His presence. Drawing near to God has to do with presence. The Quaker philosopher Elton Trueblood was known to say, "The one who is available all the time is not worth being available when he is available." And I've thought about that a lot. I've thought about what it means to be so busy that we have found it difficult to find those sacred moments in life. Elton Trueblood, the good Quaker, knew what it meant to keep silence. And he guided many other people across the years to a good resolution in all of that. The institution I had the opportunity to serve before finally retiring and coming out to this wonderful place gave honorary degrees on the basis of their values. We probably missed a few, we probably embarrassed some people, but the bottom line was that our values included the idea of servant leadership. Servant leadership. I'd like to tell you about one couple who meets that mark. They are the Fultons. They live and work in Haiti. They run a hospital there. Mark Fulton is a dentist who served in our town for many years, and all the missionaries knew him because he offered his care for them free of charge. Mark and Kathy always wanted to be in on the care of desperate people. And they felt led to do that. So they made a number of visits to Haiti. We happen to have some other relatives who served there for 30 years or so, and so they were a part of the orientation of that visit. But Mark and Kathy decided to retire early and make their home in Haiti. And there they are. And our children in this church have some little banks they're hoping to fill up to send a gift of love and support for the Fultons at a hospital in Haiti. I have to tell you, this is a remarkable couple. They define servant leadership because they have taken the opportunities, the training, the skills, the organization, and the presence to make a difference in that place. And I am really proud of our children who have wanted to be with them in a kind of a tangible way to make a difference for those who are so needy. One of the other realities of the Haitian situation is the earthquakes, of course. And so they have established a workshop where they can produce simple prosthesis so that people who have lost limbs in that terrible history will have a chance to be uplifted and helped in that way. Servant leaders, using the opportunities they have with the training they have and the platforms that come to them and their presence to make a difference. A few weeks ago, we were blessed to hear the voice of our tenor soloist, Taylor Jacobs, who sang a magnificent piece from Elijah. "If with all your hearts you truly seek me, you shall ever surely find me, thus saith our God." That is the promise of our life of faith. And sometimes it takes a long time to get there. Back to that memorial gathering in Ohio. In a modern church sanctuary, we sat around tables, and the seniors and the juniors and the grandkids all had a word to share, carefully chosen. And one senior member shared these words from the poet Raymond Carver. It appears on his tombstone. He lived just 50 years. And did you get what you wanted from this life? Even so, I did. And what did you want? To call myself beloved, to feel myself beloved on the earth. The promise of our followership with our Lord is that if with all our hearts we truly seek him, he will be found seeking us, and we will walk the journey of life with our God. Let that be so for you and me as we come to worship, as we find sacred places, as we hear the inspiration of great music, and as we celebrate what it means to be servant leaders wherever we are. And as our pastor often says, let it be so.